This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Israeli troops kill yet another Palestinian in the occupied West Bank following an alleged attack on regime forces at a checkpoint. The German Chancellor calls for the withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukraine while Vladimir Putin tells him destructive Western policies are prolonging the Ukrainian conflict. And also, official figures show German exports fell more than forecast in October amid concerns about recession in Europe's largest economy. Hello and welcome, everybody. Israeli forces killed a Palestinian man in the West Bank in the most recent case of such deadly violence in the occupied territories. The Palestinian man was shot dead following an alleged stabbing attack against the regime's forces at a checkpoint in Nablus. Footage released on social media shows the Palestinian man shot four times at point-blank range as he was lying on the ground. The Palestinian Red Crescent says Israeli forces blocked emergency responders from reaching the victim. This will add to the nearly 210 Palestinians that have been killed by Israeli forces since the beginning of this year alone. Mona Candiel is joining us now from Ramallah. Mona, please bring us up to speed on the recent Israeli aggression and violence that is taking place at a checkpoint in Nablus.
Well, according to the footage that went viral online, it's clear that an Israeli soldier was trying to arrest a Palestinian man in the village of Hawara. It's near the illegal Israeli military checkpoint of Hawara, as well as the city of Nablus. It was seen an Israeli soldier trying to arrest this Palestinian man. Others were saying in Arabic, leave him, and trying to pull the Palestinian man from the hands of the Israeli soldier. Then this Palestinian man tried to escape. He hit the Israeli soldier immediately. The Israeli soldier took his gun and shot him at least four times in the head. And he was screaming on the people not to come close. According to eyewitnesses, this Palestinian man was left bleeding for 15 minutes. Palestinian paramedics were not allowed to take him, and neither the Palestinian ambulances, until Israeli ambulance and more Israeli soldiers came to the area after almost 15 minutes, and they took him. It was, according to eyewitnesses, this Palestinian man, or the body of this Palestinian man, was wrapped in a plastic bag, and this is a sign that he was dead. And he was taken by the Israeli soldiers. The identity of this Palestinian man was revealed as a Palestinian from the village of Osarin in Nablus. The real story, it's not clear. Israeli media claims that Israeli soldiers opened fire at a Palestinian who tried to stab Israeli soldiers. But according to the video, it was showing an Israeli soldier trying to arrest an unarmed Palestinian man, and then without causing him any harm, of course, to the Israeli soldier, he opened fire and shot him in front of the people there.
All right, thanks a lot for the update. Mona Candiel joining us from Ramallah. Elsewhere, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani says warning bells have started to ring for Israel and its supporters. In a Twitter post, Kanani talked about increasing global hatred of Israel, which he said can be seen among fans present at the Qatar World Cup. He also referred to a resolution the UN General Assembly adopted on Thursday that acknowledged Nakba. That's an Arabic term meaning catastrophe and used by Palestinians to refer to the day when Israel was created. The Iranian spokesman said the Israeli regime and its supporters have focused on what he called Iranophobia. He added, that's in line with vain attempts to deviate attention from the issue of Palestine and give Israel life support. Kanani said Israel's efforts to normalize ties with countries won't help diminish the global hatred of the regime. Elsewhere, Russia accuses Western countries of pursuing, quote, destructive policies by pumping Kiev with weapons and training the Ukrainian military. The Russian president says political and financial support from Ukraine's Western allies has led to Kiev completely rejecting any negotiations. Vladimir Putin made the remarks during a phone conversation with the German chancellor. During the conversation, Olaf Scholz urged Putin to find a diplomatic solution to end the war, including pulling out Russian troops from Ukraine. Russia said that it's open to talks with the U.S. on resolving the conflict in Ukraine, but the Kremlin says efforts to find a possible compromise are being hampered by the U.S. It cites the U.S. refusal to recognize the four Ukrainian regions Russia annexed in September. Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin says the war in Ukraine has exposed both European weaknesses and strategic mistakes in dealing with Russia. Marin made what she called the brutally honest assessment in an interview with an Australian think tank during a visit to the country. She believes Europe is not strong enough right now to stand up to Russia alone. The Finnish Prime Minister is also critical of Europe's policy towards Russia over the past decade. She says a policy aimed to make close economic ties with Russia and buy energy from it to prevent a war. But she added that that approach was proved entirely wrong after the conflict began in Ukraine. Earlier, we were joined by political analyst Gilbert Doctorow. He shared his thoughts about how the war in Ukraine will play out during the next few months.
The notion that Europe by itself cannot stand up to Russia is self-evident. What is not evident and missing in her statement is that the whole of NATO cannot stand up to Russia. And that is what we're seeing, and which will be proven in the next 2 or 3 months when the Russians mow down, run over the entire Ukrainian military establishment when they begin their offensive later this year or the beginning of January when the ground is frozen in Ukraine and they can set out their tanks and heavy artillery and so forth for ground movements that will grind the Ukrainian military forces into dust. The outcome of this conflict is a challenge to the whole of NATO, not merely to the European member states of NATO. And it has been manifestly clear that the whole of NATO is incapable of manufacturing relevant weaponry and munitions at a sufficient pace to outdo or even to remain on a par with the Russian production. And the Russians have barely begun to wind up their country to a military footing. It is all being done, what we see today in the Russian military effort, is based on a peacetime Russian army and a peacetime military production.
Well, the Hungarian Prime Minister says EU's decision to block funds owed to Budapest is political. He attributes the move to his country's opposition to the bloc sanctions on Russia and its refusal to support the war in Ukraine. Viktor Orban says the European Commission's move to withhold 13 billion euros in EU funds for Hungary is also a reaction to his government's anti-migration stance. On Wednesday, the EU's executive arm recommended that the funds remain frozen over what it said was Hungary's failure to make good on promised judicial reforms. EU governments have until December 19th to vote on the proposal. Orban is a fierce critic of the bloc's policy on the war in Ukraine. Last month, he warned that the EU is playing a dangerous game by providing Ukraine with destructive weapons, training Ukrainian soldiers, and imposing sanctions on energy. The Italian Parliament has passed a resolution authorizing the government to continue to help Ukraine, including via military aid, throughout 2023. This says an increasing number of Italians are advocating for peace negotiations to end the Russian-Ukrainian conflict.
The Italian government has been authorized to send, when it sees fit, military assets, materials and equipment to Ukraine until December 31st next year. The go-ahead has arrived from Italy's lower house, the Chamber of Deputies, which has passed a motion presented by the right-leaning parties backing the government coalition and supported by some opposition groups, including Centre-Left Democratic Party and centrist Italia Viva Azione. Italy has so far classified the arms it has been sending to Ukraine, but some media have suggested the next package will likely include air and missile defence.
9 months after the start of the conflict, sending weapons to Ukraine is no longer the way to go. We must put peace talks on the table and work all together for a UN-backed peace conference promoted by the EU.
Support for Ukraine has been a contentious issue within the ruling coalition, with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni positioning herself as a staunch supporter of Kyiv. However, her partners Matteo Salvini and Silvio Berlusconi, respectively leaders of the League and Forza Italia parties, have been so far much more ambiguous due to their historical ties with Moscow and President Vladimir Putin. The two have repeatedly stressed the urgency of stepping up efforts to promote peace negotiations.
Giorgia Meloni is firmly and strongly linked or attached to the partnership and the alliance in with the United States and with NATO. So I don't think she will do something to promote compromises or peaceful or diplomatic solution.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has recently said, quote, "The Western alliance intends to keep fighting for Ukraine until it wins back all the territory Russia has seized since 2014. However, there seems to be an open wedge between the parliament and the Italian people. Latest polls show that more than half of Italians advocate for peace negotiations between Russia and Ukraine, and only a third are okay with a country sending more weapons to Kyiv.
Peace talks must be started now. They have to find a solution to end this war. This situation is dangerously taking us toward a brink.
We are being run by governments of weaklings in the pocket of NATO, and the Meloni government is no different. Our constitution clearly says Italy rejects war.
It's not anymore a war between Russia and Ukraine. It's about all of us. We begin to feel exhausted.
The approval of the motion in the lower house on supplying weapons to Ukraine also included a provision which increases military spending to 2% of GDP by 2028, as required by NATO. The motion is currently under discussion at the upper house. The Senate will have the final say on the matter. Max Civili, Rome.
Germany's exports fell in October for the second month in a row. Official data have put the decline at 0.6%, twice as much as what analysts predicted. The fall is mainly due to softer demand from European Union countries. That's according to Germany's Federal Statistics Agency that published the data. In the meantime, the German Chambers of Commerce and Industry predict that exports would further fall next year, declining by 2%. It comes as fears of recession this winter have already grown in Germany, which is Europe's largest economy. That's because of high inflation coupled with declining foreign demand, as well as strained supply chains. Inflation in Europe caused by energy prices has reached record levels in recent months in the wake of the Ukraine war. An attack on the office of an Afghan party headed by veteran politician Gulbuddin Hekmatyar has left several people dead or injured, but Hekmatyar himself is unharmed. The attackers first detonated a car bomb outside the office in Afghanistan's capital Kabul and then tried to storm the building. Reports say multiple attackers were killed and several guards injured. There's been no claim of responsibility for the attack so far. Hekmatyar served as Afghanistan's prime minister twice in the 1990s. Afghanistan has been hit by several bombings and shooting attacks in recent months, some of them claimed by Daesh terrorists. On Wednesday, an attack on a school in northern Afghanistan left 15 people dead. And staying in Kabul, where Pakistan's embassy has come under a shooting attack, all the embassy's staff are safe, but a security guard has been wounded. The embassy says the shooting was carried out by a lone attacker. Afghanistan's foreign ministry says the country will investigate what it has called a failed attack. It says the Taliban will not allow any malicious actors to pose a threat to the security of diplomatic missions in Kabul. Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif described the attack as an assassination attempt on Pakistan's ambassador. He called for action against the perpetrators of the, quote, heinous act. Well, the first senior officials meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation was held in the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. The meeting was aimed at paving the way for closer cooperation between Islamic countries and in the field of science and technology. Iran offered its valuable contribution to the OIC in the meeting. Nasser Kazmi has more.
Pakistan has hosted a dialogue platform for the OIC member states to boost cooperation among them in the field of science and technology. Senior officials representing Iran, Kazakhstan, Tunisia, Qatar, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Pakistan attended the meeting, while Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Turkey, Azerbaijan, United Arab Emirates, and Cameroon participated via video conference. The first senior officials' meeting of the OIC Forum was aimed at strengthening scientific cooperation and to encouraging major technological initiatives.
This forum provides us opportunities of bilateral, multilateral cooperation. So one or two or several countries can work together. With Iran, of course, we have a very strong cultural, historical and scientific collaboration. And of course, Pakistan and Iran can work together.
Iran's Deputy Science Minister Peyman Salehi told the meeting that OIC was established to strengthen unity and collaboration among Islamic countries. He offered the participants Iran's cooperation in the field of science and technology.
This collaboration between 15 countries may have a very fruitful outcome in the near future. Therefore, we arranged for the first meeting of ministers that will be held, I think, about 4 to 6 months later.
The Iranian minister further said that despite the sanctions imposed by the West, Iran is self-sufficient in the field of science and technology and has invested big in its infrastructure and commercialization of technology.
In 2021, Iranian scientists published about 78,000 papers, peer-reviewed papers in international journals. And at the moment, we are in the rank 15 in the world. We have established about 50 science and technology parks in Iran, more than 240 incubators, and so on.
Participants in the meeting discussed in detail the objectives, terms of reference, and working procedures of the OIC 15 and recommended them for adoption by the ministerial committee, which is scheduled to be held in the near future.
The presence of Iranian officials in the OIC meeting shows that Iran is not dependent on the East or the West, and it's ready to boost its political and scientific cooperation with various countries across the globe. Nasser Kazmi in Islamabad.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلاتي
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters from across the globe, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear, beloved, informed and kind Brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib. Thank you for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I feel very humbled. Thank you very much, brother.
It's always a joy to be with you. We'll always learn a lot, and we're looking forward to this episode too. We're on chapter 75 of the Quran, and let's listen to verses 14 and 15, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة.
Rather, man against himself will be a witness.
ولو ألقى معاذيرة.
Even if he presents his excuses.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 14 and 15 of chapter 75 of the Quran. Indeed, man shall be a testimony against himself, though he proffers his excuses. So, will we be testifying against ourselves on the Day of Judgment, Brother Habib?
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. That's one aspect to look at it on the reality of human beings and in context with the verses that we talked about. And therefore, we could state that yes, man is going to be a witness against himself. And how? It's like how the Holy Quran states that the limbs of him will testify against him in respect of the sins that he committed. Right? And as the next verse states, even if he brings excuses to argue on behalf of himself that he did not do any evil at all, these excuses will not benefit him because they are invalid excuses. They are void excuses. And of course, there's another aspect to look at it. And that is that human beings know themselves when they do their actions. When human beings, looking at human beings altogether by themselves, right? حاسبوا قبل أن تحاسبوا. You judge yourself.
Assess yourself before you're assessed.
Exactly, on the day of judgment. You have the you know what your actions are. You know the intentions of your actions, the intentions of your actions are. الإنسانُ على نفسه. Man is a witness on himself. Man on himself is a witness. That's something to keep in mind. And I'm going to talk about how Ahlul Bayt alayhum assalam interpreted the Quran, used the verses in the Quran to bring up, al-ma'arif al-islamiyya or
Islamic
knowledges, inshallah ta'ala, after the break.
All right, thank you. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back after the break to continue the discussion. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are studying verses 14 and 15 of chapter 75 of the Quran with our dear brother Habib. So, brother Habib, according to this verse, on the Day of Judgment, our body parts would testify against us. And even if we come up with excuses, they're not going to be accepted because they're invalid excuses. I recall that in previous episodes on other chapters, the Quran also pointed out to a point where the people won't be even given a chance to defend themselves. But here it's saying that they are given a chance. What is the difference between these two ayahs?
We talked about that over there. And we stated there that there is this status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow people to talk unless it's with His permission. And over there as well, it's stated that if they bring up their excuses are not valid. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them permission to bring up their excuse, right, their excuse is not going to be valid. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lillahi al-hujjatul baligh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to always, treat them justly. And when it's just, they're going to be wrong. Here as well, when you try to bring up excuses, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you permission. And here it's stating, it's very precise. It's saying, وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرٌ.
Even
if Allah gives them permission. There's an if in it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them permission, the permission is not gonna benefit them.
So these two verses are talking about two different stages of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. In one stage, they're not given the right to excuse themselves. In another, they are given the right to excuse.
It depends. Yeah, it could be different stages, different people, different situations.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, there's no speaking unless that there's
permission from God.
Permission from God. And if they are given permission, who says that their excuse is gonna benefit them?
So on the Day of Judgment, our deeds are demonstrated to us. The deeds themselves, we're told, is shown to us and we see them. And we have a clear memory of everything that we've done. We also have two angels that report on what we have done. There's quite a lot of clarity about our deeds. Why do we have to go to the extent of having the body parts testify?
Sometimes the angels have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not write. Sometimes the angels are out of respect for the person. that's for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human's covered, so they don't know what he does. Sometimes he erases them. Sometimes he denies and claims that the angels are lying. The angels did not write correctly. They saw someone else that looks like me, like my twin.
That's one heck of a brazenness.
Therefore, the hand has to speak over there. The hand testifies. And يوم تكلمنا, it's stated that the day on this day that their skins and their limbs will talk to us. Stated in the Quran, stated in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum salam. But there's another aspect to this verse that I really want to shed light upon. And that is that the human beings themselves know their actions, know the reality of their actions. And not only on the Day of Judgment, but also in this world. Us human beings, when I speak for myself first. And that is that we must always keep in our mind that we know ourselves. We know our intentions. That's the important part. This is where Ahl Bayt alayhi wasalam touch it. You see this verse in Al-Kafi Sharif, in the book of Al-Kafi, written by Al-Kulayni. You see it where? In the chapter of Riyah. In the chapter of ostentation, of Riyah. Which, what is Riyah? In summary, Riyah is to do something with the intention of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being praised, being known, whatever. Right? Other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There we see this verse. Why? Why? Because human beings know their intentions. Human beings understand their intentions. And I want to talk more about the sayings available in Al-Kafi.
It's time for a break, but we'll be back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on verses 14 and 15 of chapter 75 of the Quran. So you said that one of the most vile deeds that people commit is ostentation, which means that we're doing something to receive people's praise instead of God's praise. We want them to say that, wow, Hussein is such a great guy.
And here the Imam alayhi salam always state that, for example, stating that when you do, how can a person, how can a mu'min, how can a believer do something that they know is wrong? They ask him how, he brings up the verse, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Right? Rather, man against himself will be a witness, or is a witness against himself. Then he continues that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi states that everything that you do in your sir, in your inside, anything that you hide, these actions that you hide, that you know about,
secretly commit,
will be shown through your actions, will be shown either under...
Oh, any belief that you hide in your heart will demonstrate themselves in your actions.
Exactly, in the future, whether it be in this world or the hereafter.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's one thing. And another thing is that the good intentions also in this chapter with the verse in it. Another saying is that the more that you have, the more that your intentions are good, the stronger your action is. The stronger your actions is. And that shows that when a person's intention is clearly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the soldiers such as the soldiers of Badr. There were 313. In front of a couple of thousand, right? 313 in front of a couple of thousand. That's something. And why did they win? It goes back to this intention that they had, this pure intention, that strength of intention. Every time this intention is stronger, the more stronger your actions will be. When your intention is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's going to put you in hell, you're going to be staying away from everything that brings you closer to hell. When you have this good intention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to gain paradise, for example. Your prayers, your fast, they will be stronger. It will be stronger than the person that pretty much doesn't have this intention or has a different intention. He wants someone to praise them. So if this person praises them or he finds a different way for that person to praise them, he will leave this action. He will change this action. The strength of the action is not that good. So here, human beings must account themselves before being accounted on the Day of Judgment. And whether it being good intentions, things we hide, right? Sometimes there are sins that no one knows except for that person. Or they have this intention of doing this bad action. They keep it to themselves. They have this hatred to this person, right? And they keep it to themselves. Of course, keeping it to themselves is not a problem. We talk about al-huqud, al-bughd, and al-hasad, envy, and the different kinds of envy. The good, there's an envy that's not muharram or not prohibited, and there's the envy that is muharram and whatnot. So this is in summary. This is in summary for us to keep in mind that on the Day of Judgment, like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, بَلْ الْإِنسَانُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرٌ, we're witnesses on ourselves, on our actions. The things we do, the intentions that we have in ourselves, all of it is going to show on the Day of Judgment.
Then the next ayah says, though he proffers his excuses.
Like I always said, even if he presents his excuses, is a better translation.
Yeah, this is not a very good transition proffer. So even if he does get the chance to present his excuses. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It was two verses, but there was so much to learn from it. In the end of the day, we know what we have done. We know what kind of judgment we deserve. But God keeps presenting different kinds of proofs and evidence for us. And I guess that nobody will leave the Day of Judgment thinking that they have been treated unjustly. Up to the level where even our own body parts will testify against us, even though they are the parts that are going to be burnt. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. I think the golden takeaway here is hold yourself accountable before you are held accountable on the Day of Judgment. If you missed our episode, don't worry. You can always download this one or all the previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Back to Reality. This is Asma, your humble host. Once more, I have the privilege to be here with two very dear guests, Sister Zainab and Sister Bita. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Sister Asma.
Thank you for being here.
Assalamu alaykum. Thank you. Today I'm really happy that I have the honor to be here with you two and our dear listeners.
Thank you. And we have the pleasure to have you both in here. Media is doing so much, you know, aside from brainwashing people, aside from giving them some new ideas about their life, it is doing so much on the upbringing of the children. Do you think there should be a control from parents toward these children who are following, you know, and it's not just children. It's about people over 15 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can make judgments, but they are not experienced enough to get the truth behind all the news they hear.
Yeah.
Youth are the pillars of nations, so they need to be guided properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you shouldn't misunderstand this guidance with actually overprotectiveness, you know, I hate it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think age really matters in this social media because the younger you are, the more you can believe the things that, you know, are not that much likely to believe, you know, what I'm telling you. Because you lack experience, and this is a problem. And because, for example, in teenage especially, you're rebellious towards whatever what advice that you are given by your parents, by your older generation, it's more likely that you are actually the goal of these media to be harmed. we have to be protective about the content that they are receiving in social medias.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, there are some special contents in social medias which makes us actually disbelieve whatever we believed in the past, you know what I'm telling you. There are some philosophical and psychological contents which are really professional,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot differentiate them between the other things that you are saying day by day in social media with other special contents, you know. So you have to first of all have the knowledge and have the understanding that how social media can be dangerous.
Exactly.
And this is the first part, I think. Sometimes you cannot believe that how much it can affect your brain, your way of thinking, and so on. And when you don't believe it, you are not that much paying attention to that thing. And the other part is the protection that, I don't know, government, the country, the other people, the older generation, and so on, should actually have under on you and on these medias, which in sort of certain manners is impossible, I think. Why? Because actually, these social medias is not limited to our own country, which yeah. we can't actually control them. These are worldwide, and you cannot control it because exactly. the server is not here.
So,
even.
As parent, as yeah. a young person, I understand that there is no control over all these medias.
Exactly.
And I should understand that they are dangerous. I should know that there might be some big lies yeah. in there. And then you mentioned also the right of the government over these medias.
When I was traveling from one country to another, I was on the international airport, and with that Muslim look, I was getting weird looks from the people around at the airport. And on international airport, you don't have people from just one country.
Exactly.
You have people from all
from
over
all
the world.
Nations. Yeah.
And it was one of the biggest international airports of the world. So I was getting very, very weird looks. And, you know, in my free time, because I had my flight was some 2-3 hours
yeah,
later and I
times.
Had done my boarding mm-hmm. and everything, I just had Quran in my hands. So I was just reciting. And the moment I was just opening Quran and reciting Quran over there, as if I had just opened an atom bomb, I was
yeah.
actually getting, no, literally, I was actually getting those looks. Why did that happen?
Yeah,
media.
But supposedly media. It's media.
Media has yes. so much, especially, I don't know why they're targeting Muslims, because you mostly target the ones who you think they are dominant, they are right there, they can overcome us,
yeah.
they can overcome our belief. So they are being targeted and shown a very bad image. And, you know, when I was on the immigration point, I was being told, why are you coward? So I was like, it's my faith. I told them, there's so many
thing.
People
yeah.
out there who are non-Muslims and carry out terrorist activities
yeah.
every day in your country. And I gave him so many examples. And I told him, you're unaware because you're not educated.
Yeah.
Increase your media literacy.
Exactly.
Okay? So Muslims are not terrorists. But however, I want to discuss on that. But it's like the image of Muslims
mm-hmm.
has been degraded so much by the media, or like, aren't there Muslims who are against
ISIS? Yeah, they're being bombarded
aren't
by
there,
so
aren't
many...
there Muslims who are against ISIS? Every
yeah.
true Muslim believer is against ISIS. But when you go to some non-Muslim countries or you are on the airports, you are being seen as, all right, she's from ISIS. So what I mean to say over here is that after traveling to another country, getting known about other
mm-hmm.
countries, getting true information, what was the best point for me, what I wanted to share as a tip was, I talked to people who were actually living in those countries.
Yeah.
I did not refer to media. I started talking to people who were actually living. And if they were my friends, I started to talk to them. What is the situation? I read on news like this. How much true is that?
So you also focus on the fact that there should be literacy about media. There should be education about media and all the people should know more about it. So let's put it in here and then go for a short break and we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
We are discussing media in today's episode of Back to Reality, and we actually crossed some very interesting and important points. Up until now, we got that not all the medias are independent, and of course, such a claim is a little bit of unbelievable because all the medias seem to have some dependencies on special groups, on the ones who are funding them with money or whatever. because as we know, every single person in this world is fighting for their school of thought. Mm-hmm. So we got that there must be media education and we should make people aware of this literacy. And the youngsters who are more exposed to these sort of news that is being spreaded everywhere, though they have, you know, because they have a media very much available to them. So now let's talk about the red lines that should be controlled. We got to this point that all the medias must be sort of aware of what they do, as well as the audience who are reading or hearing this sort of news. But then, as the media, what red lines shouldn't be crossed?
Yeah. You know, according to your question and following what our dear sisters told us up to here, I have to tell you that I had the same experience too, because my Muslim looks and something so on. They were like, okay, we cannot believe that you're Muslim. And I just told them, okay, what do you expect me to be? I'm a human being like you, and yeah. I have my own mindset and so on. And they were in shock, actually. I couldn't do anything about this. But I think according to these red lines and according to whatever is according to these media, we have to do two main things. First of all, we have to understand what are the things that we have to avoid, we have to control and so on in social medias, and how can we do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other part is that we can use this media to show the correct image of ourselves. And I think this is the key point. You know, we cannot sit up here and tell that, okay, we are not the Muslims that you think, we are different, you know, the bad image is affecting and so on. We cannot just sit here and tell other people that. You know, we have to do something about it.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think one thing that we have to work on is making the social medias, which are worldwide, you know. As you know, unfortunately or fortunately, most of the social medias that, in the world are used are from, for example, United States or Western countries, European countries, and so on. I think we have to show our power and show our correct image of Islam to the world.
So you mean we should improve our media as well,
exactly,
in a way that we could compete with them, mm-hmm, that we could show our true image or that we could spread our true news everywhere.
Exactly, because controlling is not enough.
Yeah. Now let's go for a short break, after which we'll pursue our discussion. What about you, Sister Zainab?
Well,
talk about the red lines.
I would add to Sister Bita that, yes, it's the individual control. You yourself can act as media. When you see the red lines are being crossed by the media, you don't have any red lines on social media. You think you can see, like, state media has a red line, any other media has a red line, but the social media has no red line. But you don't have to let social media affect your own country. You see something is being posted against your country, which is not.
So I guess it's not about the media's red line as much as it is about my own red line.
It's my responsibility. I can act as a journalist. I can, if I believe that this media is claiming that I am unbiased media, go and send them the story that you saw. Send them the unbiased story. If they are not posting it, they are a biased media. Mm-hmm. They're not unbiased anymore. And you yourself can act as a reporter. You can show to world, all right, you are showing that there are protests in some particular country, but the people are enjoying, they're celebrating. Just see the example of the Qatar World Cup, which is just going on. And
yeah,
there was the inauguration ceremony, the opening ceremony took months for this Muslim country to prepare it. But to know, mainstream media came and showed that opening ceremony, while as in China in February, who are just, you know, making the worst human right violations to the Uyghur Muslims, the opening ceremony was shown. Why in one World Cup, the Winter World Cup, this opening ceremony of one country was shown, but when it came to a Muslim country, it was not shown by the mainstream media? Shame on those medias. You yourself as audience over there, you can cover it and share it,
yeah,
and not let that the
you know, those efforts of months go in vain. So you can act as media yourself.
My dear sister, let me tell you something, you know. Saying it is easier than doing it, actually, because sometimes this kind of effect that you are getting by these social media is not actually consciously. It's from your subconscious, you know. And what I'm telling you is that you cannot control it that much, you know, because the time you are spending on these social media is so huge, especially in teenage generation. And unfortunately, the teenage generation is right now is into social, you know. Why? You know, because the social media is free. It's free. You can do whatever you want.
No, I don't believe it's free. Right, well, it's not free.
It is, you know.
We're just talking about it.
We have interactions.
See, there is no independence.
No. I'm not telling you about. I'm not talking about independence. I'm telling you that you can behave as whatever you want. You can show the image you want, and in this aspect, you're free.
You're talking about personal bloggers.
That's what I'm saying. Since you're free, so you have to share the reality that is being hidden by the mainstream media. You can act as a free media yourself, with adding your media literacy, and you can, actually cover everything that is being uncovered.
So there should be a balance, I think, between these two.
Yeah, of course. So I'm just going to gist it all, and I'm just going to give the gist and wrap it all up. Well, we understood that finding an independent media or such a thing as free media is very difficult, or let's say something impossible, because mostly all the media serve a special purpose. Now, the important thing is to have an education and literacy about all these medias. We have young generations, even children now have access to media. So we have to focus on teaching our children, on teaching our younger generation to be very much aware about the food they're going to feed their brain. Because many of these news that they are going to take in are going to be big lies, and then they're going to make their concepts based on these wrong ideas that have been inputted in their brain. So then we talked about the red lines, and we said that it is not the responsibility of the media to actually focus on my red lines, but it is my own ability, my own responsibility to care about my red lines and focus on what red lines are being crossed by those newspapers or by those medias that are crossing my own thoughts, my own point of views, or my own red lines. Again, the importance is going to be put on my own self. I should have enough of knowledge. I should have enough of education. I should have enough of awareness about the thing that I'm feeding my brain. So this is not an easy thing, not a very, simple thing to just say it. I guess we have to focus on it and practice on it and be aware of it and then work as much as we can, because that is going to have impact on us and the people around us. So this was all for today's episode. Thank you for staying with us, and thank you for sharing your time with us. Thank you, Sister Zainab. Thank you, Sister Bita. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي ما رايز again let us see daylight again once again.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.